Hey, welcome to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. I'm your host, Jim Brangenberg. Think about it. Our view of God determines what we think on all moral, cultural, and economic issues. It even determines how we vote. Hope for the future of our country and our world lies in our ability to make God the issue in every issue. Today, we're going to be talking about the three reasons the Christian life does not work. Brad Bright's here to bring us the conversation. Brad, thanks for being back with us today.
Jim, it's great to be back here. I'm looking for an exciting time here.
You know, Brad, a lot of Christians routinely experience anxiety, worry, anger, or a sense of hopelessness, helplessness. They often can't sleep at night. They're often disappointed with God. In other words, the Christian life just isn't working for them. What do you say to these folks?
Well, the Christian life probably really isn't working for them. But, you know, there are three reasons the Christian life doesn't work, and most people don't understand really what they are. But there's three reasons. And what we're talking about today is we're going to talk through those three reasons so that you can kind of look in the mirror and say, well, that's where I'm getting hung up.
And those three reasons, are they going to address that whole joy and peace thing too? Because I want to be a joyful follower of Jesus. Is that going to help me?
Yes. Look, if you want to experience the joy and peace Jesus promised and your heart is good, well, then you should be able to. And if you're not, there's one of three reasons why.
Are there only three reasons why the Christian life might not work for someone?
Well, actually, there's a fourth reason. But the fourth reason I can't help you with, and that fourth reason is, if you just want to live life on your own terms and you don't really want to follow God, I can't help you. But if your heart is good and you do honestly desire to want to follow God, but you feel stuck, that's what we're talking about today. Those are the three reasons we're talking about.
Okay. All right. So let's just start off. What's the first reason the Christian life just doesn't work for some folks?
Well, it's just lack of knowledge. You don't know what you don't know. And bottom line is, you don't really know who God is. Oh, yeah, you've heard things about God. You have an idea about who God is. But your view of God doesn't go very deep. Now, I'm not talking about whether you prayed a prayer of salvation or you sat in church for 20 years, but you have an inadequate view of God. Your view of God is too small. And these are the folks who they've experienced the anxiety, the worry, the anger, the helplessness. It's why you often can't sleep at night. It's because you don't understand really who God is. And that's the intellectual component of really digging down and saying, God, who are you anyway? And really begin to understand the character and nature of God.
Why do you think it is that people have a lack of knowledge? I mean, a lot of Christians are going to church on Sunday. A lot of them have a Bible or two or 10 of them at home. Why do you think it is? Why do you think it is?
Because you've sat in church all your life, right? Or 20 years, 10 years, however long, but you've never really personally gone and delved deeply into who is God. As my dad said, we can trace all our human problems to our view of God. So if you're experiencing a lot of different problems and you don't have peace in the midst of it, I can promise you that somehow or the other goes back to how you're seeing God.
All right. So you're saying we could trace all of our human problems to our view of God. So then was your dad saying that a flat tire is a result of our inadequate view of God?
No, but he said what he was saying is your response to that flat tire is a result of your view of God. Are you seeing it as a problem, or are you seeing it as an opportunity to see God work? A friend of mine in Phoenix, he didn't become a believer till later in life, but you know, he had different sayings like, if it's odd, it's God. But well, what did that turn out? What did that result in? Well, when he got a flat tire, he would start looking around and saying, God, who do you want me to talk to? Instead of getting frustrated with the flat tire, he understood God was getting ready to bring a divine appointment into his life in all likelihood. And that's the difference. It's really perspective on the circumstances of the situation, not the situation itself.
Yeah, it goes back to something we said in a past couple of podcasts. We got to stop asking, why God? Why God? Why me? Why God? And start asking, what? What is it you want me to learn from this guy? I mean, that's a powerful concept, just to be able to switch it from why, which is all about you, and what, when it's all about him. All right, so if Christians have an inadequate view of God, it probably means that people in church have a misconception of who God really is. Am I right?
You are so right. How many things do I hear people say, including some pastors, that I just go, well, that's just not biblical. I mean, for instance, the statement that I hear all the time is God will never give you more than you can handle. Have you really thought about that statement? I mean, it's related to another misconception that God just wants me to be happy. No, let me be very clear. If God loves you, he is going to routinely give you more than you can handle. Why? So that you'll learn to rely on him. That's what the Christian life is. You know, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9, Apostle Paul says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but God. You know, think of yourself as an athlete. God is your coach. And what God does is he makes you do what you don't want to do in order so you can become what you want to become. And God wants to conform us to the image of Jesus. And sometimes that process hurts a little bit, but it grows us.
Maybe the line should be, God will never give you anything more than you can handle with him by your side.
Clearly. That's the point. As we rely on God, we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. But the point is, we have to learn to rely on the Spirit of God.
All right. So why is this so important? Why is it important to have an accurate view of God? What difference does it make in the life of a Christian? How does it make the Christian life work?
Look, bottom line, the Christian life is a trust relationship. That's really all it is. And you can't trust someone you don't know. And if you don't know who God really is, you'll never be able to completely trust him. And if you never completely trust him, the Christian life will never really work for you. At best, your life will be a spiritual roller coaster, full of ups and downs. You know, you'll have highs sometimes, but then you'll have these real, real lows. You'll never consistently experience the joy and peace Jesus promised. I mean, that's why my dad said, the most important thing to teach another believer is the attributes of God. That is the character and nature of God.
We're having a conversation today with Brad Bright about the three reasons the Christian life does not work. You're listening to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. We'll be right back.
Want to know more about how you can make God the issue in every issue? Get your copy of Brad's book, God is the Issue. Now in its third edition, you can get your ebook copy at brightmedia.org. Even better, if you subscribe to this podcast, you'll receive a coupon for one free download of God is the Issue ebook. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, and get God is the Issue ebook today.
Hey, welcome back to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Wright. Today we're talking about the three reasons the Christian life does not work. What a great conversation. And Brad, I know you're trying to be funny with that title, but the Christian life really can work. But here's the three reasons, really the four reasons that it doesn't work. All right, let's say I have a great understanding of God, who God is. Will the Christian life work for me now? Will I experience the joy and peace Jesus promised?
Well, you're in much better shape now, but there's another step here. And let me put it this way. A number of years ago, 20 years ago, I was struggling to make a major decision. And so I called a friend of mine who's, you know, had more gray hair than me and an older and wiser guy. And I said, can we get together, Chuck? And Chuck said, sure. And so we went up to British Columbia for 2 days. The first day, we were just walking the streets and talking. And at the end of the first day, Chuck turned to me, and I'll never forget it. He said, Brad, your intellectual theology is phenomenal. And I kind of thought to myself, yeah, it probably is. But then the other shoe dropped. He said, but your application stinks. See, you can have a great intellectual view of God, understand who God is, but your application could still stink. And if your application stinks, the Christian life isn't working for you. And I knew at that point, it really wasn't working for me, but I was stuck and I didn't know what to go. You see, my problem wasn't a lack of knowledge. My problem was a lack of application.
Wow, that's powerful stuff. I just want people to think about that. Because he said, your mentor said, your intellectual theology is phenomenal. You had a great knowledge of God. You probably had the Bible memorized in a lot of ways. But your application stinks. And that's where wisdom comes in. All right, so that must have been a serious wake-up call and a smack on the side of the face with a green-treated 2x4. What does it look like to apply what you know about God? How did that conversation with Chuck shift your paradigm.
Yeah, that conversation with Chuck, only a friend could say that to you and you don't get angry, right? Because I knew he loved me, but he was very, very honest, and I needed to hear it at that point. But, you know, one of the watershed moments of my life was an aha moment. It was shortly after I graduated from college, and I was sitting in my dad's office as a reporter there, Chris from a Christian magazine, was sitting there with him. And the reporter was asking a number of questions. Here's kind of boilerplate questions. And finally, he asked a question I hadn't heard before. And he said, Dr. Bright, share with me a problem you face that the average Christian can relate to. And my dad said, I don't have any problems. And the reporter went, you know, well, Dr. Bright, let's not over-spiritualize this. We all have problems. And he proceeded to ask the question seven times, seven different ways, trying to get my dad to admit he had problems while I'm sitting here. And finally, my dad just looks at him and said, you need to understand something. I'm a slave of Jesus. It's not the slave's responsibility to be successful. The responsibility of the slave is to do what the master asks him to do. And when you understand that, you understand you don't have problems. You only have opportunities to see God work, or to see the master work, is what he said. And it hit me like a ton of bricks at that moment. I thought, that explains the life of this man I've called Dad all these years. He doesn't lose his cool. He doesn't get upset. He stays calm and yet definitely in control. And I thought, that explains it. He doesn't have problems. He only has the opportunity to see the master work. So my question for the people in the audience today is, do you have problems? Or do you have opportunities to see God work?
Well, let's just get personal here for a second before we go on to the next part of the conversation. How have you done since that day in your dad's office, seeing your dad say, I don't have problems, I got opportunities. How have you done applying that in your own life?
Well, you know, it's a process. You learn to apply that over time. But the way you learn to apply that is by delving in deeper into the nature and character of God. And as you do, you learn to trust God more. And as you learn to trust God more, you learn to love Him more. It doesn't happen overnight. Even though intellectually, I understood what had just happened in front of me with my dad, it's still a process that each of us has to go through of learning to trust God. And as you learn who He is better, you learn to trust better.
All right. So are there any other questions you found that help you apply God's character to your daily life? I mean, what does this look like for Brad Bright on a daily basis?
Yeah, there's another question that has been huge for my wife and myself. And it came out of a situation, oh, a number of years ago, probably 20 years ago. We had our entire staff team over at the house. And what had been going on for the prior 6 months is my wife had been working on a project. And a number of people had authority over her, kept on saying, you don't know what you're doing. You don't have experience to do this. Who do you think you are? And yet Kathy knew that God had called her to do this. And so these folks who had authority over actually were being kind of mean. And so she found herself getting angry, and the anger began turning into bitterness. And she said, I did every formula I'd ever been taught. And so I would feel the anger and the bitterness. I'd confess it to the Lord, and 3 seconds later, we'd be right back. And she said, I wasn't seeing any victory. So as our staff team is over at the house that day, she just opens her heart and said, I need you guys to pray for me. And she told him the situation without naming names. She told him the situation. And she said, I don't know what to do. Now, sometimes we all have moments of spirit-filled idiocy, right? When we open our mouths with, if we'd thought about it, we wouldn't have said anything. And so that was my moment. And so I said, well, honey, what attribute of God are you struggling to believe is true in this situation? Oh, fire came out of her eyes, leapt straight at me. So I had to duck. And then she said, I believe all of God's attributes are true. Thank you very much. I'm not believing God is sovereign in this situation. I'm believing these people have more power over God's will for my life than God does. And that's not true. Now, folks, the moment the word true came out of her mouth, her eyes cleared. Totally cleared. It was the first time her eyes were clear in 6 months. And I could see the weight of the anger and the bitterness had completely evaporated in an instant as she recognized in that situation who God was. And so ever since then, when curveballs come into our life and we're kind of viewing them as problems, we ask each other, okay, what attribute of God are we struggling to believe is really true in this situation? And that identifies a real problem. See, the situation is not our problem. It's how we're viewing God in that moment that is the problem.
That's powerful. I love that. And we need, how do we get to know the attributes of God? I think you wrote a book about that. Yeah, don't you have a book by that title?
I didn't write the book. My dad wrote a book.
Oh.
And we've reissued it just, 3 years ago or so. We reissued it under the title, God, Who Are You Anyway? And it's not just to help you understand who God is, but it's to help you to apply that to your life.
You know, you also, but you did that for children as well.
We've done that for children as well.
What's that book
because
called?
It's called Because God is Awesome.
Right.
It's to help kids understand who God is and why it matters in their life today.
But if you're listening to the podcast today, Because God is Awesome is perfect for adults too, because it makes it simple to understand the attributes of God. You're listening to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. As we talk about today, the three reasons that Christian life just doesn't work. Okay, Brad didn't put just doesn't in there because he writes really well. But the three reasons that Christian life doesn't work. We're going to be right back with more of a conversation on making God the issue in this issue, about making God the issue in every issue. We'll be right back with more.
Brad Bright travels the country speaking and training people how to make God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org. That's brightmedia.org to find out how you can bring Brad's highly interactive workshop to your area. It's fun, engaging, and most important, it will help make you more effective in making God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, and schedule Brad today.
Hey, welcome back to the God is the Issue podcast. We talk about the three reasons that Christian life does not work. I want to put in there, just doesn't work. But Brad, we've uncovered a whole bunch of things. There's three reasons. We've talked through those things. So we've talked about the importance of understanding who God is and applying that understanding to our daily lives. I think that would pretty much take care of it. But you said there's a third reason that Christian life often doesn't work. What is that third reason?
There's a huge third reason it doesn't work. You may understand who God is. You may be applying that. But there's one other issue. And it's summed up in one word, focus. Focus. Your focus, what you focus on, determines whether or not the Christian life will work as God intended. It's all about your focus. Hebrews 12:2 says what? Fixing our eyes on
Jesus.
So if your eyes are fixed on Jesus, what are they not fixed on? What are some things they're not fixed on if they're fixed on Jesus?
Your problems.
Your problems. Yeah. If your eyes are fixed on Jesus, you're not fixated on your problems. What else are you not fixated on? You're not fixated on yourself. Your eyes are not on yourself if they're on Jesus. You know, they can only be one place or another, right? So let me tell you a story. And this is from my dad's final time on the planet. My dad died of pulmonary fibrosis. And those last couple years as he's slowly suffocating because the lung tissue is hard, I'd say, Dad, how are you doing? And he would go, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I mean, he'd always go, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. And he was always very sincere about it. And I'd say, Dad, I know you rejoice in the Lord, but how are you feeling? You know, he only answered that question twice in those last 2 years, in terms of, you know, saying, oh, I'm not feeling very well, but I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Well, I really didn't understand the import of that until probably 3 years after he passed away. And in the interim, a number of women had come to my mom whose husbands had also died of pulmonary fibrosis. And they talked about what an awful disease it was, how it changed their husbands. Their husband had become mean and surly, and they didn't even recognize him as the man they married. And one day the light went off in my head. I went, oh. My dad wasn't like that at all. He was the same man he'd always been till the day he died. And I realized, oh, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. His focus wasn't on himself. His focus wasn't on his disease. His focus was on the Lord. How many times did I walk in those last couple years and he'd be there in bed propped up with his Bible on his lap and his head fallen over as he fell asleep? He was focused on the Lord in the midst of this horrible, horrible disease. And as a result, he was focused on rejoicing, not on his own misery. I mean, it's huge.
So that's your dad. I mean, your dad, Bill Bright, he founded Campus Crusade for Christ. I mean, Bill Bright, you know, he's probably got a super duper seat in heaven. That's super. But is there any place in scripture where we could say, I mean, you know, I know you look at, he's your dad, but you know, the world looks at, well, Bill Bright, he was incredible. Is there any place in scripture where we see this being applied as well?
Well, let me say, my dad was incredible, but I admit my bias. But, you know,
good to know.
The point is, in the body, we each have our tasks and our assignments, what God called us to. He did his task with great faithfulness, no doubt about it. But there are other people who are called to other tasks that are not as high profile that also serve just as faithfully. So, I as a son, I love my dad. I love putting him on a platform. But I don't in any way want to say that he was important and someone else wasn't who didn't have the same gifting. No, we all have a role in the body of Christ.
All right, so let's talk about biblical examples, people that we read about in the scriptures.
You know, I see in Acts chapter 16, you know, when Paul and Silas go to Philippi, you remember the story, and they were unjustly accused and beaten, unjustly beaten, thrown into prison, not just thrown into prison, but thrown into the inner prison of the prison, and not just thrown into the inner prison of the prison, but put in stocks. So here they are at midnight. Their backs are bloody and they're sore and they're in stocks in the inner prison, unjustly accused. And what are they doing? They're whining and moaning, right? No. They're singing hymns and spiritual songs. Folks, you realize that's not natural. Jim, I mean, if I were in that situation, I'm not sure I'd be singing hymns and spiritual songs. I think I'd be moaning and whining and say, why did this happen to me? Lord, why did you let this happen to me? But they're singing hymns and spiritual songs. You know, you can only do that if your focus is on the Master, if your eyes are fixed on Jesus. You know, there is no human way that you're going to do that in your own strength.
Right.
And I remember when, you know, the story in Matthew 15 of Jesus walking on the water, I really think it's about Peter walking on the water. When you really get into the story, because what happens? Jesus comes out walking on the water. The disciples think it's a ghost because they're out there rowing the boat. And here's this, you know, in the middle of the night, it's dark. And they see this figure out walking on the water. And they just assume it's a ghost and they're scared. And finally, they figure out it's Jesus. And what does Peter do at that moment? He said, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. And Peter goes, okay. And he gets out of the boat. Not only does he get out of the boat, he lets go of the boat and starts walking to Jesus. Well, Peter gets about halfway out. Now, let's freeze frame it right there. What's going on? Folks, it's dark out there. It's windy. The waves are going up and down. It's nasty. It's dangerous. But Peter's in no danger at all. He's walking on water. He's defying the law of gravity. He's perfectly fine. But now let's fast forward. Peter gets out to Jesus, and what happens? He starts sinking like a rock. He starts just going straight down. Now he's in mortal danger. So my question is, which one of his circumstances changed? The answer is none of his circumstances changed. The only thing that changed was his focus. It's the difference between fixing your eyes on Jesus or not fixing your eyes on Jesus. His focus got onto the wind and the waves. And when we do that in life, what happens? We start having incredible problems. You see, Peter focused on the wrong thing there at the end. And as a result, his entire situation changed. You see, in any given circumstance, either your view of God will determine how you see your circumstances, or your circumstances will determine how you see how you see God. That was true with Paul and Silas, and that was true with Peter walking on the water.
I really like that. Either my circumstances will determine how I experience God, or my view of God will determine how I experience my circumstances. That's good.
It's true.
It's worth repeating. Either my circumstances will determine how I experience God, or my view of God will determine how I experience my circumstances.
That's right. I mean, you cannot change yourself. You can't. I know you can't because I've tried, and it doesn't work. You know, the only thing I found I can change is to change my focus. But here's the thing. As I change my focus, it changes who I am becoming. And it will for you too. And you know, as it changes who I'm becoming, It even changes what I love. Did you catch this? I change my focus, it changes who I become. And as I change who I become, my focus and of what I love changes as well. See, you can't make yourself love God. You can't do it. But you can change your focus. You can choose to focus on God. And if you do, you eventually start to come to love God. And that's the way the Christian life works. The Christian life is not about what you do, not primarily. That's a symptom. The Christian life is primarily about what you focus on. And so unless you're focused on God himself, you know, moment by moment, then you're focused on the wrong thing. And the Christian life isn't going to work for you. You want to know why the Christian life isn't working for you? You're focused on the wrong thing. You can't fix yourself, but you can fix your view of God. And you can fix your eyes on Jesus. And if you do, you'll wake up in the near future and go, I've changed.
We mentioned earlier in the podcast that you wrote a couple of books about this, and your dad wrote one that you re-released, God, Who Are You Anyway? And you wrote a children's book as well. Brad, where can they get those resources?
Well, you can get them at brightmedia.org. And I would strongly encourage you, if you've never studied the attributes of God, if you've never really drilled down in the character and nature of God, start doing that tomorrow. It will change your life as you come to understand who God really is and begin applying it to your life and begin getting your focus in the right place. You want to experience the joy and peace Jesus promised. That's where to start. Dad wrote this book specifically for you, not just to help you understand who God is, but to help you apply that to your life.
God, Who Are You Anyway? Online at brightmedia.org, where you'll also find lots of other resources. Brad, great conversation today on the three reasons that Christian life just doesn't work. Okay. Does not work. I like to add that just. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Jim.
And thanks for joining us today on the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. Remember to check us out online. Lots of resources out there, brightmedia.org. And remember, always be kind, compassionate, and shrewd while making God the issue in every issue.